From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask me another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hello! Yeah, nice to see you. Awesome! So right now we have four brilliant contestants. They're backstage comparing the sizes of their vision boards. And soon they're going to be out here playing some fun, nerdy games with us. And one of them will become our big winner. And Happy New Year's. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Who else other than me is still writing 2018 on your Venmo transactions? I make resolutions. Do you make resolutions?
No, I don't.
Really? Not
yeah.
at all?
No, I'm already doing everything right. So
yeah,
I don't,
that's how
nothing,
you see it. I don't want to change anything
because I don't want to screw up the perfection that is my life.
It's true. We were all talking about working out backstage. How about you?
Yeah, you know. No. Seems too hard.
It does seem hard.
Yeah.
Honest to God, my New Year's resolution last year was that I was going to go to the gym 2 times that year, and I only missed it by 1 time. So, last year I was like, I'm going to try to do yoga. I am one of these people who never got into the yoga craze. So last year I was like, I'm going to do yoga. Hey, guess what? There is no way to begin yoga anymore. That's over. That's over. They teach it to toddlers. You can't start yoga. Everyone already knows it. If you go to a basics class, you know what that is? Really hard. It's really hard. Everyone in that class knows what they're doing. They're speaking conversational Sanskrit. Like, it is intense. I wore the wrong clothing. I wore a bra top with 2 straps. What a mistake. Everyone else had like 15, 25 straps. Like really good people had like 40 straps. I think if you have 60 straps, you're a Buddhist or something like that. I think that's... So I've got to find new resolutions. And on this show, we have not one, but 2 guests. Yes, both comedians. We have Adam Pally and Jay Farrow. Yeah. I know. Adam Pally, you've seen him on The Mindy Project. He was on a great sitcom on ABC called Happy Endings. Great sitcom, great cast, ironically titled as it got canceled. And Jay Farrow, of course, is a master impressionist, or as I like to call him, a professional feelings herder. I mean, seriously, that's the whole job. It's like, I'm going to study your flaws, and I'm going to dial them up, so we can all laugh at you in public. No, not with you, at you. That's the whole point, right? That's the whole problem. All right, let's start the show, everybody. You ready to play some games? Our first 2 contestants will play a game about pop culture animals. Let's meet them. First up, Alicia Hodges, you're a biostatistician.
Yes.
So you say that sounds pretty cool, but it really is just number crunching?
Yes, that's pretty much it.
Okay, so what kinds of numbers are you crunching?
Mostly I do Alzheimer's research, so the lighter side of things is I get to sit above a bunch of freezers full of brains.
Excuse me?
So people like that because they think, you know, we're stockpiling for the zombie apocalypse or something like that. But it's actually just because we collect tissue in our studies.
And how are you sitting upon them?
Our office is 2 floors, so I'm just above the freezers.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, okay.
I'm not actually sitting on them.
Yeah, I just pictured you like on a laptop sitting on top of a brain, freezer brain.
In Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's just like in Game of Thrones. Okay, Alicia, when you ring in, we're going to hear this. Your opponent is Mary Hangley. You're an opera singer.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. What do you think the biggest misconception about the opera is when you're trying to say, no, come out and see this? And they're like, well, I don't want to because blah.
Ooh, the biggest, blah. It's in another language, blah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Everyone's
right.
Dead who wrote it. the stories are all the same. You see them on TV, mm-hmm. You see them on the opera, you see them at the movies, they're at the opera. So if you like TV and movies, go to the opera.
Right. Opera.
Yes.
All right, fantastic. Mary, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Alicia and Mary, whoever has more points after two games will go on to our final round. This is a trivia game called Crass Menagerie. We'll give you a real-life fact about an animal and a famous zoologically incorrect interpretation of that animal in pop culture. Ring in and tell us the name of the pop culture animal. Here you go. Attention, Ross Perot. Some subspecies of this animal can grow ears as long as 30 inches. However, none can fool Elmer Fudd into thinking it's a sexy lady by putting on a dress and makeup. Mary.
Bugs Bunny?
Correct. Yeah, Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes. The looniest of tunes.
The looniest of tunes.
That's right.
This animal really stuck its long neck out for Toys R Us. The store closed anyway. But you couldn't hear this animal complain because it can't make noises that are audible to humans. Mary.
Jeffrey the giraffe?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Jeffrey the giraffe. Yeah, so according to Wired, giraffes do have a voice box, but the giraffe's trachea is about 13 feet long, which makes it difficult to produce the airflow required to make a noise that a human can hear.
Their neck is too long.
Their neck is too long.
You could tell that by looking at
them. I know. They were trying to say Toys R Us is going to close. This reptile is deceptively strong. Each of its feet has a clinging strength of up to 20 times its body weight. One thing it can't do, save you hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. Mary.
The Geico gecko?
Yeah, that's right.
Every member of this marine species is born with male and female reproductive organs, and its sex can change depending on environmental conditions. Which would have made this titular Pixar character's journey even more interesting. Alicia.
Finding Nemo? Or Nemo?
Yeah, Nemo is what we're looking for. That's right.
This is your last clue. This bird of prey can turn its head as much as 270 degrees, but it's stuck being Harry Potter's mail carrier. Alicia.
Hedwig the owl?
That is correct. Yes. All right, great game, both of you. Currently, Mary is in the lead. Give me Liberty or give me Death Cab for Cutie. We'll give you both in this next game that mashes famous speeches with pop music. So this is an audio quiz called Speeches and Songs. I'll play an audio clip that is a mashup of a famous speech and a popular song. They are joined together by one common word. You're going to identify the speaker and the musical artist. That's right. Each is worth 1 point, and your opponent can steal any points that you don't get. All right, Mary, you are in the lead, and so if you stay in the lead, you're in the final round. Alicia, you need to get more points, or you have to change your Twitter bio to motivational speaker and DJ. Let's hear your first mashup.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Alicia. That's JFK and 3-6 Mafia.
That is right. Beautifully done, beautifully done. I love these clips already.
it's surprising juxtaposition.
They're amazing.
I will say.
All right, let's hear the next one.
You work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do, that you treat people with dignity and respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out
what it means to me. Mary.
Michelle Obama and Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's see how you do with this.
You shall not crucify mankind upon a cross of gold.
Teeth gray, goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams.
Mary.
Okay, so the second half is Lord.
Yep.
And the first half.
The first half.
Is a man.
Yep.
Yes, it
who
is.
Who was... talking about crucifying people on crosses of gold. Oh, is it William Jennings Bryan?
Yes.
Wow. Wait a minute. Okay.
Wait.
This is big. My husband is William Bryan, related to William Jennings Bryan.
Are you kidding?
I'm not. He's back there. It's true.
Wow, if you didn't get that.
I know, right?
I love that you talked it out, and then you were like, wait a second, this sounds familiar because he recites it every morning. That's amazing. All of a sudden, this game got very personal.
Yeah,
we wrote some personal questions. All right, this one might be tough.
Article 19, everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes
freedom.
Alicia.
Okay, the singer is George Michael.
Correct.
The speech, it's a lady with a little bit of an, I want to say Margaret Thatcher, which is probably not correct, but it's someone like that.
Okay. All right, you currently have 1 point. You have half of the question. 1 point. Mary, can you steal?
I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try. Eleanor Roosevelt?
Yeah, you got it. That was Eleanor Roosevelt.
Mary, I think we found your superpower.
I know.
It's pretty good. All right. This is your last clue.
That the only thing we have to fear is
fear. Fear losing creativity. I'm talking fear. Fear missing out on you and me. I'm talking fear.
Mary.
Okay. FDR.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't know the next half, but I'm going to guess Kendrick Lamar.
You guessed correct again. Should we check you for your earpiece?
Yes,
you're
you
too
should.
Surprised.
Please, I'm a little concerned myself.
You're too surprised. Okay, fantastic. Both of you did amazing. And after two games, Mary is going to our final round. Coming up, we'll find out who will face off against Mary in our final round. And comedian Jay Farrow is here. He is so good at impressions that this is actually Jay Farrow talking right now. Yeah, I know, I got you fooled, right? You thought I was Ophira. Nope, Jay Farrow. I'm Jay Farrow, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR. We'd like to take a moment to thank and share a message from our sponsor, Nature's Way, offering quality herbal supplements since 1969. They believe that nature knows best, which is why it's always been their mission to seek out the best herbs the earth has to give. Nature's Way is committed to going to any continent or country to find where herbs grow best. Find out more at naturesway.com. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Peloton and their newest product, the Peloton Tread. The new Peloton Tread is not a treadmill. It's an advanced running machine and immersive strength training experience with daily live classes and hundreds of classes on demand, powered by Peloton's world-class instructors. Take strength and cardio workouts on your schedule, all from the convenience of home. Learn more at onepeloton.com and use code ANOTHER to get $100 off accessories with the purchase of a tread.
1965, a darkened street corner in Selma, Alabama, and a murder. A new podcast exposes the lies that kept this murder from being solved.
And explores memory, myth, and accountability for a crime at the heart of the civil rights movement. From NPR, White Lies. Listen and subscribe now.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. He was a cast member on Saturday Night Live and can be seen in the YouTube series Champagne Ill. Please welcome Jay Farrow. Thank you so much for joining us, Jay.
Hi.
Thanks for coming down to the Bell House in Brooklyn.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Brooklyn in the house. My mom's from Bed-Stuy, so shout out. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Yeah, real talk. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, that your real name is Jared Farrow.
Oh, don't say it too loud.
Okay. But the last name spelled F-A-R-R-O-W. Why did you change your name?
Because, man, Pharaoh means Bay of Pigs, a family of pigs. And then on the flip side, Pharaoh, P-H-A, that means royalty.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's like a total flip personality.
Did you change it when you were entering into like a showbiz career?
Yeah, when I was 19, I changed it, as a matter of fact. I was tired of people calling me Jared because that name sucks.
So you went for Jay Pharoah.
Nice. Jay Pharoah. See, it's sexy, right?
It is sexy, yep. You have been doing impressions since you were 6 years old. The first impression you did was Iago, the parrot voiced by Gilbert Godfrey in Aladdin.
Yes, it was.
And, you know, the kid in my class, elementary school class, that did the impressions and made fun of the teachers, that was the popular kid. Is that how it worked
for
you? Yeah,
I was popular in elementary school. It didn't really work out in middle school. It was... I got bullied. People don't know that. I was fat. Yeah, not no more, but I was fat. And I got picked on when I was younger. But, you know, I found comedy. And, I'm good, people.
So you're 15. You're doing stand-up. You're at the Funny Bone in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Charlie Murphy, who is Eddie Murphy's brother, sees you and takes notice of you that you're really good at what you do.
Yeah, man. Charlie Murphy, man.
What did Charlie Murphy think of your impersonation of his brother?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
The first time I did it, he thought it was trash. He was like, yo, man, you got to laugh. That's about it, man. But then, like, years later, I did it, and he was like, shh, yo, you've been working, huh? I'm like, yeah.
So, how long does it take you to, you know, work on an average impression to the point where you're like, I like it this now?
It just depends on who it is. Like, all right, like Denzel Washington took me like 3 years to get down, you know? and I hadn't gone through puberty fully yet. And so it wasn't all the way there. But at a 19-year-old Jay Pharoah trying to do Denzel Washington didn't sound like, you know, Jay Pharoah now trying to do Denzel Washington. Is Jay Pharoah now doing Denzel Washington? You know, I talk like this and I look at you and, you know, I look at the ladies and I tell them, you know, it's going to be all right. Okay, all right. That's what it is. My man. Okay, okay. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? So,
Jay, before you got your spot on SNL, I read that your sister sold all of her jewelry to help finance you to go on tour.
Now that's real talk.
To do some comedy.
That's real talk. Both of us didn't have jobs. I quit my job at Burlington Coat Factory. Yeah, I worked there.
Mm-hmm.
And man, she sold her jewelry. She pawned it. She went to Greenbrier Pawn. She got about $300 or whatever. We came up here and we worked the Chitlin circuit. And you know, when you do the Chitlin circuit, you can make like $100 a spot, but you're doing six spots a night. So you're thinking about that. That's like $600 a night. Mm-hmm. So we really caked up. And I still haven't got it back for her, but I'm going to get it back
okay,
for her.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. I love the claps. You know what I mean?
That's good.
I mean, y'all are really connected, you know what I'm saying?
Did you, so your family was pretty supportive. I mean,
they were supportive, but, you know, look, we still, like, all right, we both didn't have jobs, and they still didn't, ain't nobody be like, hey, here's some gas money for New York, you know what I'm saying? Like, we had to make that ourselves, but my family is very supportive. It's crazy.
So obviously, we all know you from comedy, but director Steven Soderbergh watched your YouTube video of you doing Will Smith versus Denzel Washington.
You know what? Before you say that, shout out to Matt Damon, because Matt Damon is the one that actually put Steven Soderbergh onto my Denzel clips. And I just saw him, I think, at the SNL after party, and he was like, you know, you don't got to give me credit, but...
Nice.
Like, he's the reason that Unsane and everything happened, because they would play that clip. He said that Soderbergh watched that clip like 20 times, man. And Soderbergh hit me up 2017, and he said, yo, I think you have a dramatic side. I can tell, and I want to expose that to the world. I did it for him, man, and I've gotten great reviews from that. But go ahead, because I don't know what you want to say.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, like, how did you, from your point of view, how did you enjoy taking on a dramatic role?
Well, you know, it's funny, because I started in community theater when I was 8 years old. So I did serious stuff before I did comedy. I started comedy when I was 15, but I was doing theater, school plays and everything from 8 until 15. So, you know, it was just home for me. I'm dramatic, okay, yeah.
You said that your dream project is to be in the next Black Panther
yes.
movie. Who do you want to play?
I don't know. Whatever was left. I don't know that. I mean, yo, there's so many black people in there. I mean, they can spare one more. You know what I mean? It ain't like it's hard. Like, I can be T'Challa. I am T'Challa. You know what I'm saying?
Jay, we're going to play a game with you, but you're not playing your game alone. We are going to bring out someone for you to play with.
Oh, great.
You know him from The Mindy Project, Happy Endings, and he's also in Champagne Ill. Please welcome Adam Pally.
I love how you walked out, didn't give me any dap. That's fine. That's cool.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Hello, White Brooklyn.
Adam Pally.
Wait, White Brooklyn? That's so accurate.
Yeah. I love it. My favorite part of tonight was when you're like, my mom's from Bed-Stuy, and one dude who like just bought a brownstone there is like, yeah!
No.
Bed-Stuy!
That's my hood!
He's talking about bed.
He was the developer. It's the developer. Actually. Adam.
No, I'm looking at Bed-Stuy too. I shouldn't. It's the schools.
So Champagne Ill is about what happens to a rapper's entourage when basically their glitzy life is taken away from them and they have to go back to their hometown and kind of return to their homes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And their home is in Champaign, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Champaign Ill. Uh-huh. So this sounds like every performer entertainer's nightmare.
For the friends, for sure.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. I mean, I can only imagine what it's like when you've built your entire world around this like one ecosystem, and then it just crashes, and you have to figure out where you are. You know. Mm-hmm.
How did Champagne Ill come about?
I had done a show with David Casp, the creator, called Happy Endings, and we were trying to. Thank you. We were trying to. Work on something again, and we thought that one of the funniest things in life is when people feel that they should be treated like a superstar when yep. they're not a superstar. I think that's one of the funniest things in the world when I see it in real life. And so we thought that the best place to do that was the place where there are a bunch of superstars next to the superstar, which is hip hop. I mean, there was a guy in Nelly's entourage that got famous for wearing half a mask.
Right. So it's sort of people falling from grace and then having to rebuild their identity. Yeah.
Kind of, yes.
And do they learn a lesson?
No.
Good.
I mean, they learn lessons, a lot of lessons along the way. But I think in comedy, if the character learns like too much of a lesson, then what fun is there to watch?
Yeah, no, you know, they have to repeat.
Like, Homer doesn't like get a Rosetta Stone and like learn Spanish, you know? Like that doesn't happen.
Season ender. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a game for you. Your game is called Guessing Impressions. We've given Jay Farrow a list of impressions. Adam, it is your job simply to guess who Jay Farrow is impersonating.
Okay.
And if you do well enough, Ming Lee Goon from Sioux Falls, South Dakota will win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube. Let's start with the first one.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
You ready?
Born.
Okay. Well, when we have faced that... All right.
The Obama.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to hear it. I don't mean to cut it off, but I'm also competitive.
That's great. We will give you that natural point for our listeners that are going to hear this across the world.
Cool.
Can you give them a little?
That's good. Well, when we have faced down impossible odds, when we've been told we're not ready, or that we shouldn't try, or that we can't, generations of Americans have responded with a simple creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.
It's so nice.
So good.
It's so nice just to hear. It's so comforting just
to
hear it. You know,
I know.
It's
like,
feels so good. It's like putting on pajamas with feces.
All right. How about your next one?
Okay. You ready?
Sure.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Adam.
Go ahead.
Denzel Washington.
Yeah, all right.
All right, so let me continue. will be perfect in every aspect of the game. You drop a pass, you run a mile. You miss a blocking assignment, you run a mile. You fumble the football, and I will break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts, and then you will run a mile. Perfection, let's go to work, my man. Okay.
Incredible. The best.
All right. Here we go. Damn you, vile woman. You've impeded my work since the day I escaped your vile womb.
Adam.
Stewie.
Yeah.
That one was amazing.
That's great.
They're all great.
All right, this is your last one.
I've never worked on this before.
Okay,
oh, man. Right. Oh, God.
All right. Oh, man. Oh, God. If married Tyler Moore married and then divorced Steven Tyler, then married and divorced Mike.
First of all, it's borderline anti-Semitic. But you're clearly doing... No, it's me. That's me, right?
Yeah. That was pretty amazing.
It's scary good.
Thank you so much. Oh, it was a total
that was amazing.
Honor. Congratulations. Jay, Adam, and Ming Lee won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube. Jay and Adam's new series is called Champagne Ill, streaming right now on YouTube. Give it up for Jay Farrow and Adam Pally.
Thank you so much.
Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Next, we want to pump you up for our next music parody game. But first, let's meet our contestants. First up, Maggie Probst-Bussard. You're an elementary school theater teacher.
I am.
All right, so can you tell, by the way, elementary school, every grade in elementary school you're teaching?
Yes, I see three-year-olds through fifth graders.
Three-year-olds through fifth graders. Oh, my goodness. What play do you have three-year-olds do?
It's more dramatic play at that point, so we're all going to become dinosaurs now and walk around,
yep.
Things like that.
Do you ever go up to a three-year-old and you're like, you're going to be a star, you're going to be a star?
No.
No? All right, Maggie, when you ring in, we're going to hear this. Your opponent is Lindsay Thompson. You're a documentary filmmaker. What was one of your favorite projects?
I did a documentary about the Camino de Santiago. It's a pilgrimage in Spain. So I backpacked the full 500 miles across Spain and also made a movie while I did it.
Oh, my goodness. How long did that take you?
It was about 34 days.
Nice.
And then, like, years in editing.
Years and years in yeah. editing. Is it a completed project?
It is, yeah.
Fantastic. So, Lindsay, when you ring in, we're going to hear this. All right, remember, Maggie and Lindsay, whoever has more points after two games will move on to our final round. Let's go to your first game. Jonathan Coulton, take it away.
Thank you. With apologies to Elvis Costello and the Attractions, we changed the lyrics of Pump It Up to make the song about things that you can actually pump up in our inimitable style. Just ring in and tell me what I'm singing about. You ready? Okay. It's gonna be great. Your ship is going down, but you're not gonna drown. Put this on, it's like a coat, and it's gonna help you float. Maggie.
Lifesaver.
Why don't you give another try at what you're referring to?
So I'm thinking, I guess I'm thinking more on an airplane. You have the vest that you can pull the tab.
Oh, that's
or...
a life vest is what we're looking for. You said the magic word, the duck
yes.
drops down, you win $100. Well, here's your next clue.
Bosses say they won't pay, so we're stopping work today. Giant rodent looking fine, right next to the picket line. Pump it up, it's the union who sent ya. Pump it up, that balloon is rodentia.
Maggie.
The giant union rat.
Yeah, the giant inflatable union rat.
I remember seeing one of those in front of a restaurant, and as I came closer, I realized it was just a rat, real one.
Just a real rat.
One
super of those
big.
Actual giant rats.
Working out, keeping trim, time to hit the stupid gym. You pay for it, you should go. You don't really want to, though. Pump it up, it's the tissue that moves you. Pump it up, and to use them behooves you.
Lindsay.
Muscles?
Muscles is the answer.
Yeah.
The clown said it's in the wrist. Hear them squeak when they twist. Different shapes to make you laugh. Poodle, monkey, or giraffe.
Lindsay.
Balloon animals?
Yeah, balloon animals. That's right.
I'm going to start taking emotional comfort balloon animals on planes with me.
You just have to get them a little
whole
vest.
Bunch. Yeah,
just have
exactly.
to get them a special vest, and
I need
nobody
this.
Will say anything.
I need this.
I need this balloon.
I need that seat for my balloon animal.
All right, here's your next one. Charlie Brown hated them. The Cleveland Browns play with them. The Wells report suggested that the Patriots deflated them. Pump it up to specifications. Pump it up to league regulations. Maggie.
Football.
Football is the answer. That's right. I just want to say, I'm glad that I don't get paid by the note because there's really only one note in this song. It's this one right here. Here we go. You found your favorite audio playing on the radio, like they say in this iconic song by Technotronic. Oh, wow. A place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day. I know. What's happening even? there's a song by Technotronic. It's about pumping something up. It's also, it's like when you hear your song on the radio, you're like, that's my... Maggie.
Jam.
Jam, that's right. This is your last clue.
No one knew but Freud did, not the super or the id. Strong women, fragile men, we all massage it now and then. Pump it up if they say that you're real good. Pump it up, then this part of you will feel good.
Lindsay.
Ego.
Ego, that's right.
We'd also accept fragile male ego. Congratulations, Lindsay. You are currently in the lead. If you are the type of person who listens to Cardi B to get pumped up to go to Whole Foods, you should be on our show. Go to amatickets.org to find out how. Coming up, we'll mash up board games with body parts. So if you wish there were more spleens in Scrabble, mandibles in Monopoly, bile in Balderdash, or wish you could play Operation for real, scrub up. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from MailChimp. So, you want to grow your business. Now what? MailChimp's all-in-one marketing platform. That's what. It has all the marketing stuff you need all in one place so you can save time and money. And it's powered by a marketing CRM so you can collect, organize, and understand your audience data. All to help you market smarter and grow faster. Learn more at MailChimp.com. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from TD Ameritrade. When it comes to investing, each of us does it our own unique way. Some of us want to go it alone. Others might prefer some guidance. Regardless of your style, TD Ameritrade is always creating new solutions to help you. From their award-winning technology to personalized guidance, they have everything you need to invest on your terms. Visit tdameritrade.com/YTDA to learn more and get started today. Member SIPC.
This is Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We do long-form interviews with the journalists breaking the big news stories and with the authors, filmmakers, and musicians behind the best in pop culture. Interviews to keep you informed and entertained. So listen and subscribe.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, we met our contestants, Maggie and Lindsay. Soon they'll play a game about board games and organs. It's going to be awful. Awful.
Awful.
Awful.
Yeah.
First, let's check in with them. Maggie, what board game do you refuse to play?
I'm really sick of Guess Who, because if you say that it's a woman, it gets rid of almost all of the board automatically. They need... diverse Guess Who.
Okay, yes, good point. Lindsay, what board game do you refuse to play?
I really hate Settlers of Catan because my brothers are good at it. And so, you know, I'm going to be crushed.
Yeah, you're just going to lose all the time. It's no fun at all.
Right.
So, but you still play?
No, not really. I try to lean it towards Boggle if we can.
Yeah. That's your wheelhouse?
Yeah. Me and Grandma playing Boggle.
Fantastic. All right, well, this is a word game, and in this word game, we're mashing up board games with body parts. It's called Gray's Monopoly.
For example, if we said the goal of this game is to line up more than three eyes, lungs, livers, stomachs, or any body structure that performs special functions, you would answer, connect forgans.
Okay.
So fun. That's a fun game. And the points are doubled. So remember, the board game will always come first in the mashup. Lindsay, stay in the lead, and you're in the final round. Maggie, you need to get more points, or in every board game you play for the rest of your life, you have to be the yellow guy. In this card game, you must announce when you have one card left, or you get punched in the sniffer. Maggie.
All right, Uno's.
Uno's is correct. Yes, fantastic.
In this raunchy, intentionally offensive card game, you win by playing the dirtiest molars. Lindsay.
Cards Against Hugh Cavity.
I'm sorry. That's a good guess. You're trying to wedge it in there a little too
really
hard.
You got really specific in a way that I love.
But I appreciate the effort. Maggie, do you know the answer?
I know it's Cards Against Humanity. I'm trying to figure out the second half of it that's still tooth related. Cards Against Humandible? No. Yeah. Oh.
That's a good one, too, but it's also incorrect.
You're both not going to like the answer.
No, it's very simple. Cards Against Humanity.
Shoot.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm staring you right in the mouth.
In this Rube Goldbergian board game, you're a little furball trying to not get caught. If you do, even the large surface muscle that extends from your neck to your mid-back won't save you. Maggie.
Okay, so it's Mousetrap, so I'm going to talk it out.
Sure, great.
Okay, Mousetrap, oh my goodness. Because I want to say trapezoid, and that's a shape. Mousetrap, I know that the muscles are traps, but I don't remember what that's short for. Long, yeah, I give up.
Do you want to say Mousetraps?
Sure.
All right, then you get that. Yeah, it was, basically, we were looking for the trapezius, but we also would accept traps.
Oh,
so
great.
Mouse trapezius or mouse traps. That is correct.
In this war game from 1957, the best strategy is to build your army in the pelvis, then you work your way up through the ribcage and squash your brother's troops in the clavicle.
They might want to hit.
Lindsay.
So the game is Risk. And I have no idea.
From pelvis to ribcage to clavicle.
I know it's wrong, so
I don't know if it's wrong.
I was about to say risk intestine, but I know that's wrong.
I just like that though. I liked hearing that.
Yeah. Okay,
that was
cool.
Worth hearing, yeah. I think.
All right.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
It would be,
be interesting, but it is incorrect. Maggie, do you know the answer?
I don't, but I'll try. So risk. I'm thinking like your ribs, wrist cage.
Wrist cage is like awesome.
Oh, I like that a lot. Also incorrect, we were looking for wrist skeleton.
Good news, 30 questions left. Let's go.
All right.
In this classic battlefield strategy game, each piece represents an army officer, like a marshal, a general, or a sergeant. The object is to capture the other player's female reproductive organ where eggs are produced.
This is just a fascinating comment on human reproduction, actually.
Lindsay.
The game is Stratego, and it's ovaries, so Stratege-ovaries.
Yes, that's right.
And your reward is this is your last clue. You guys did amazing. This was a tough one.
Great.
You did great. Here's your last clue. Was it Professor Plum in the billiard room with the hanging knob of connective tissue at the back of your throat? Maggie.
Cluvula.
Yeah, you got that perfectly. What a game. All right, looks like Maggie, congratulations. You are going to our final round. While Mary and Maggie get ready for the final round, it's time for us to play a game. This is called Fact Bag. Yeah, that's right. I have a bag full of trivia questions. Jonathan and I do not know the answers. Every question is written on an envelope. And then I'm going to read the question, we're going to talk about it, and then we'll open up the envelope and find out the real answer. Okay, Jonathan, here we go. The beaded lacewing is a delicate-looking flying insect. Mm-hmm. One particular species of this insect feeds on termites in its baby larvae stage. How does it stun its prey?
So it's a baby larva, it feeds on termites.
Right.
And it stuns the termites.
Right.
By
cleaning the bathroom. What?
What a nice surprise. Thank you.
I can't believe it. Oh, yeah. I'm being eaten.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's see. It could exude poison.
Yeah, it could know.
It could have a stinger. That would be a very boring answer.
It could
answer.
Have a stinger, right?
With its
It could
stinger.
Surprisingly know all the dialogue from The Big Lebowski. That would stun me.
It would be surprising.
Especially if it was in larva stage.
It could get up and walk, even though it has no legs.
That would be happening? Crazy. No. Mm. What if it masks itself as a small little chunk of delicious wood that a termite might love?
It takes off its mask and it says, "Surprise, suckers, I'm a larva."
That's right.
Yeah, that sounds right. Let's go with that answer.
Okay.
So wood mask.
Wood mask.
Which is removed suddenly.
It's passed down generations.
Yeah.
All right, let's check out what the answer is. According to Wired magazine, when a baby larva gets hungry, it stuns a termite with a vapor phase toxicant released from its anus.
Same, TBH.
Its farts are powerful enough to immobilize 6 termites with one blow.
Okay.
Little did you know. Yeah, all right. Highbrow, lowbrow. All right. Fact bag. What did the past tense of the word help used to be?
Help. The past tense.
So it wasn't helped.
Help.
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 This makes no sense.
Help. Help.
I like this. I just want to hear you do this.
Help.
Yeah, I think that was it. I think it's that
really,
one.
What else could it be besides helped? It doesn't even make any sense.
I think it was the second one you did. What was the second one?
Help.
Yeah, that one.
That's with a... it's an O with an umlaut.
Okay, very good. Help.
Wow! Wow. 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 Okay. I've got a natural affinity for this
sort of
thing.
Yeah, what are you, Mary? The past tense of help used to be help. Help, derived from German. Over time, the verb help became regularized, meaning we now just add the letters ed to the end to make it past tense. There are still many other irregular English verbs, including know, and its past tense, knew.
All right.
All right. Fact bag, let's go back in.
You never know what you're going to get in the fact bag.
You never know what you're going to get. According to Google Trends, who was the most searched for person across the world in 2018?
Carmen Sandiego. 2018.
Yeah,
most
way back then.
For person.
Yeah, Robert Mueller.
Robert Mueller.
Yeah, right. It could be any celebrity of any kind. Oh, maybe it was Elon Musk. That's my other contender.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Donald Trump, I suppose.
Could be.
Why would you Google him, though?
Yeah, just look around.
Yeah, just look around. Or another, any surprise celebrity things happen? Like, because that's when you Google somebody. Who is that now? Now,
right,
who
right,
is that, you
right.
say?
But it goes so
go
quickly.
Who is the person who moved from least famous to most famous? The greatest distance from no fame, from small amounts of fame to big amounts of fame. Who became famous in 2018?
I think it's Cohen.
Michael Cohen?
Yeah.
It could be somebody related to Trump that we've never heard of before.
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. Let's do that.
Or was there a Kardashian baby that I missed?
Probably a few. I don't know.
All right. Let's, what are we going with?
Yeah, Michael Cohen.
Michael Cohen.
There's a better answer, and it's going to be inside this envelope.
Let's hope there's fun inside of here.
Let's see.
The answer is Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle.
That was the clear who, whoa.
Yeah. That was it.
Yep, exactly. Meghan Markle is the current Duchess of Sussex. She married Prince Harry in May 2018. The other most searched people were Demi Lovato, Sylvester Stallone, Logan Paul, and Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah.
All right, here's your final fact bag. Fact bag.
Fact bag.
During the Industrial Revolution in the UK, you could get a job as a knocker-upper.
Uh-huh.
What did that job entail?
Knocking up?
Knocking up.
A knocker-upper?
Yeah, is that like comedy writers? You know, punch up, but instead back then it was called knock up.
Knock it up?
You got to knock
it's
up.
It's not very funny. We should knock it up.
We got to knock it up.
Isn't it a Britishism when you knock on somebody's door, you say, I'm going to knock you up? Isn't that a thing?
Is that a thing?
I feel like that. Maybe I just made that up. Or maybe I've just misunderstood some conversations over these
right.
years.
Right. Or they're just knocking on your door? Can they knock on your door to tell you the time or something? Is that back then?
Yeah.
Get up, go to work. It's the Industrial Revolution.
Classic,
get up and go to work.
Door-to-door time tellers.
That's right.
That they have in all the British movies.
That's what I'm going with.
Mary Poppins time teller. Hello, it's the time teller knocking you up.
Hey, being a human alarm clock.
Whoa.
I think I've been...
That's pretty close.
That's pretty it. Knocker-uppers use poles, hammers, or pea shooters to make noise on their clients' homes to wake them up. Rates depending on wake-up time. Wow. They're advanced. And how far the knocker-upper needed to travel. They knew what they were doing, these knocker-uppers.
It is knocking up. I'll knock you up tomorrow morning at 6, yeah. They would say.
Yeah, that's going to be 200 quid.
200 quid.
Yeah. All right, the fact bag is empty. Give it up for fact bag. All right, it's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalists. Mary Hangley, an opera singer who promises it's as interesting as movies or TV. And Maggie Probst-Bassard, who says the game Guess Who needs more women. All right, Mary and Maggie, your final round is called Capital Schleps. Get ready for anagrams of world capitals. I know you've been waiting for that your whole life. I'm going to give you a country and an anagram of that country's capital city. You unscramble the anagram. For example, if I said USA, sandwich tong, you'd answer Washington, D.C., Our big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Jay Farrow and Adam Pally. We rolled a 20-sided die backstage, and Maggie is going first. Here we go. Maggie, Italy. More.
Rome.
That is correct. Mary, Hungary. Bad upset.
Budapest?
Correct. Maggie, Colombia. Bat goo. 3 seconds.
Okay.
We were looking for Bogota. Mary, Ethiopia. Abba, Adidas.
Addis Abba. A-D-D-I-S, Abba.
One more chance to save it. Just spell it out.
A-D-D-I-S, A-B-B-A.
Okay, so close, but I'm sorry, that is incorrect. We're looking for Addis Ababa, A-D-D-I-S-A-B-A-B-A.
Okay.
There we go. Okay, Maggie, Serbia, bed logger.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Belgrade? No, that's not right.
Belgrade is correct. Mary, Australia, crab near.
Canberra?
Canberra, yes, that is correct. Maggie, Romania, shares tuba.
Okay. In theory, I know Eastern European geography, but it's not coming.
It's okay. 3 seconds. Bucharest is what we were looking for. Mary, Japan, TKO, yo.
Tokyo?
That is correct. All right. We're at the halfway point. Mary's in the lead, 3-2. Maggie, Denmark, hog penance.
Oh my goodness, I am blanking so hard and I know this.
It's okay.
All right, hog penance.
3 seconds. Copenhagen.
Wow.
It's all right. Mary, India, held wine.
Held wine. The capital of India. With a W. Oh, New Delhi.
That is correct. Maggie, Somalia, Guido Hams. Feel free to think out loud.
Okay.
Guido Hams.
It has a G. Okay. Because my brain wants to say New Guinea and that's a different place. Not sure.
Okay. 3 seconds. Mogadishu. The score is 4-2. Mary, if you get this right, you win. Mary, Czech Republic, pug ear.
Prague?
That is correct. Congratulations. You both did amazingly hard final round. You were incredible, Maggie.
Thank you,
thank you so much. And congratulations, Mary. That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Juan Escalante, Andrew Kane, Carol Lee, and Emily Winter, with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. Ask Me Another's produced by Mike Katzeff, Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Edward Wyckoff-Williams, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Alexis Stromer.
Extreme Sailors.
Along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Rick Kwan, and Ari Davanellos. We'd like to thank our home in Brooklyn, New York, the Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
And our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, WPLN listeners. You know, we couldn't get enough of your Nashville charm, so we're coming back. Join us at TPAC's Polk Theater on May 23rd. You can expect a night packed with puzzles, comedy, word games, and music parody. Plus, we'll be joined by singer-songwriter Carlene Carter and other special guests. You won't want to miss it. Tickets and more information at amatickets.org. This is NPR. Next time on Ask Me Another, we've got actor, artist, and master hobbyist Terry Crews. He's a man of many hidden talents, and we will uncover them all. Jonathan, does Terry Crews build his own computers?
Yes, he does.
Yes, I did!
So join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.